Galatians chapter number one. Wednesday nights we are going through a series in the book of Galatians, talking about not turning back from your faith. And here in the book of Galatians tonight, we're going to look at verses 10 through 24. Hopefully finish up Galatians chapter 1 tonight. Once again, thank you for being here. I know what some of you have risked. Most of you have risked life and limb to get here, and I appreciate that. I prayed tonight as we were thinking about it, looking at it, that the Lord gets help us tonight and gets give us a special service. And the idea you guys went out of your way to be here, and I appreciate your faithfulness, and that the Lord gets give you something special out of the message tonight. Let's look here in Galatians chapter number 1. Title tonight's message is, How Could Paul Be So Sure? We learned last week that Paul was saying anybody that would preach anything different than what he had preached earlier, he said, let him be accursed. These Judaizers had come into this group of churches in this area of Galatia, and they had come in and they had changed these people's belief system. Paul had preached them salvation is through grace by faith, and these people came in and says, oh, no, Paul has it wrong. They said that Paul was wrong, that Paul needed to teach them that they had to follow the Jewish laws and the Jewish customs. And here in the book of Galatia, Paul is writing this back, and he is defending his message, defending his apostleship, and he is just telling the church of Galatia what is true. And then once again, there's probably five or six churches in this group area. And we read, as we read last week, Paul was saying, look, if an angel came from heaven, or if any man, he says, even including myself, came and preached another gospel, let them be accursed. They are wrong. And here's the thought, how can Paul be so sure? And it's a thought that we think we carry with ourselves too, that once we get grounded in the Word of God and understand the Word of God, we believe we have the message of the truth and all other things are lies. We believe that salvation is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And the question is, how can we be so sure? Why is it that all these other cults we talked a little bit about last week, how could they be so wrong? Or these other people, these other things, how could they be off? And here tonight, we're going to look at three different things to help you understand why Paul could be so sure. In verses 10 through 24 tonight, I want you like to just spend a little bit of time here looking at why we can be sure and the reason why Paul was so sure. Let's look here in verse number 10. We looked at this on Sunday morning, and I think it's a wonderful verse, and I think it's a great place to start off. It says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past, and the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you give me the words that you once said. Lord, I pray that these words be your words. And Lord, I pray tonight that you help us understand why we can be sure in the word of God that we have. And Lord, we can be sure in the testimony that you've given us, Lord, one of salvation. Lord, I do pray, as I sought your face before, Lord, I pray that tonight that you just help us. And Lord, that you speak to each person's heart, young or old tonight. Lord, help them to understand the importance of being here. And Lord, I am thankful for their faithfulness. And Lord, I do pray that they just be encouraged tonight. And they leave this place just rejoicing in how good you are and thinking that it was worthwhile that they came here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I mentioned three things, but we're going to talk about four things. But the first thing we're just going to pass by really quickly. The first thing is his motivation. Why could Paul be so sure? It's because of his motivation. In verse number 10, it's what we talked about on Sunday morning. We spent a lot of time there. He just wanted to please God. And he said in verse number 10, he said, "For do I now persuade men or God?" And we talked about in verse number 10, he persuaded men because he wanted to please God. "Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." We know that Paul can be sure in this work. He can be sure in the testimony he gave. He can be sure in the salvation message he preached because of his motivation. He knew his own heart. And in his own heart, he knew that he was only seeking to please God. I know that sometimes some people out there do not have as pure of a heart and when they're preaching and teaching. These Judaizers did not really have an interest in what God was trying to teach him and what God had done for Paul. Their interest was in following the traditions of men. Their interest was in doing what they thought was right and best. And they might have been pure in their motivation, but they had it all wrong. See, Paul's motivation was to seek and to please God. But motivation is not it. If motivation was the only way that we can know we can be sure, many people would be grounded in their own motivation for serving even false cults. I told you last week that many of the religions out there, like the Mormon religion and the Jehovah Witnesses and the Islam, many of them are motivated purely by what they believe is right. And they believe they are teaching the truth, but they're wrong. And because they're wrong, they're following after a false god and a false religion. So how could we be so sure? Well, this is where the second point comes in. So not only was it his motivation, but his teacher. See, in verse number 11, he says, "I didn't get it from a man. He got it from God." And the one thing that we can be sure of, and the reason why we can't stand and be so sure in the gospel that we have, is because it did not come from a man. It came from God. It came from the words of God. And this is one of the reasons why we can be sure and we can be certain as we talk to those that are in false religions or those that are atheists or those that just don't believe in God, is that we did not receive these things from a man, but we receive these things from the word of God. But Paul himself has even a step farther in this because he received them as a divine revelation of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verses 11 and 12. It says, "But I certify you." This word certify means declaring to be a thing true, accurate, and certain. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." See, I think during this time period that these Judaizers came into this church, they questioned his apostleship. They questioned his message. They said, "Oh, he went and talked to Peter. He went and learned from those other disciples. And then he came and he presented it to all of you." But Paul says, "No, I didn't receive it from them." He says, "I received it as a direct revelation from Jesus Christ." You say, where did he get that? When did he do that? We'll see that in a minute. But Paul was saying, "I didn't invent it. I didn't alter it." He says, "Neither did any other man. The gospel that Paul preached was not a product of man. It was a certified truth that was given by Jesus Christ to him and is given to us by the Holy Spirit." Now, if it was going to be something of man, it would have been by works. Now, I want you to go back for a second and think about what these Judaizers did. Maybe I don't know if you ever heard this before or not, but these Judaizers tried to force them to obey the Jewish customs and laws. These Judaizers diluted and added to the scriptures they were given. Think about this. Paul had already proclaimed this gospel by man when he was going out and he was trying to hurt the church of God, the church of the living God. And he preached and taught a works-based religion before he became a Christian. Think about what this Jewish religious leaders did to the law of God. They took the Ten Commandments. You go in the book of Exodus, you go to the book of Leviticus, you got all those words, the laws that were from Moses and Exodus and Leviticus. What they did, they took these Ten Commandments, these living laws that were passed down from Moses, and they dissected them. God gave them five books. They gave them the law of Moses. Then they took these and they created what they called Mishnah. Now, Mishnah was oral traditions that they explained about these five books of the Bible. Say, so what do you mean? for 335 years, they took and orally they would pass down their traditions. They wouldn't even write these traditions down. They would say them orally. They had to be memorized. And then, after these 335 years, they added to this, and this became the Talmud. Now, this Talmud was the writings that explained the Mishnah. And remember, the Mishnah was there to explain the laws that God had given. And if you took this Talmud and made it into an edition in an English language, it would be 36 volumes long and over 36,000 pages long. Now, you look in your Bible, and we think that the book of Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are hard to understand. You think that the law of Moses might be a little difficult to understand, but could you imagine having a law system that was over 36,000 pages long? And that is what they are bringing into these churches of Galatia, and they are saying, if you want to be saved, you're going to have to follow after the law of Moses and the traditions that we have developed over the last 350 years. You're going to have to work your way into heaven. See, they were not satisfied with Paul's gospel, because Paul's gospel didn't come from a man. See, if Paul's gospel had, if Paul had invented this gospel, Paul would have said, you know what? We need to work. This is what human nature tells us. We need to earn our way to heaven. We need to do good works. But that's not what the gospel tells us. You know, it's a crazy message if you think about it. What God has given us, what God has done, and the world's vernacular and the world's thinking, it would be craziness to think that God himself would become a baby. And then when he became a baby, he lived as a man, but not just any man. He lived as a servant. And as he became a servant, he wins the hearts and with love and stirs the soul with his teaching. He marvels the mind with miracles. But then later on, one of his 12 followers betrays him. They hang him on a cross. He's brutally beaten. He's crucified. He dies. He's buried. He raises again 3 days later, and he ascends up into heaven. And this is what man has to believe. This is what faith is about. This is the gospel that's teaching. If we embrace this belief, his blood cleanses us from all of our sins. But men don't like that message. Men like to have the message, give me some rules, something I can follow, something I can do. Help me to earn and to work my way. But the Bible's message is different than any other religion in world history. The emphasis is placed upon what God did. It's not placed on what man did. And man does not like that. They reject that. And so here's the thought. Paul is saying to these people, this is who my teacher is. All these other Judaizers are coming and they're saying, for the last 400 years, we've learned these traditions and these are the things I pass along to you. But Paul's saying, I didn't hear it from a man. I didn't learn it from a man. These men that are up there teaching, they've heard it from men over and over and over. He says, I had it from a direct revelation. So it did not come from man. It came from God. Look what it says in verse number 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, it came from God. It came from a special revelation to Paul on the road to Damascus. God made known to man the truth that previously he did not know or chose not to understand. See, a person cannot be saved except through divine revelation. It's the Holy Spirit of God that reveals to our heart that we have a need and that we're a sinner. It's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts us of our sin. Yes, we might hear the preaching and teaching, but it's the Lord himself through the Holy Spirit that draws men unto him. And we need to understand that our message that we have, the reason why we can be sure of the salvation we have, it did not come from a man. You might say, hey, I heard it like they did in the church at Corinth. They were childish. And they says, well, I got my message from Paul, and I got my message from Apollos, and I got my message from Cephas. No, if you got saved, you got the message from God that you needed to be saved. And because you needed to be saved, it was a divine revelation to you that you were a sinner and you were in need of a Savior. The church of Thessalonica got this. Because Paul even says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When a person's saved, he begins to understand the scriptures. That's illumination. It becomes a truth that is illuminated to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Take your Bible and go back a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. It's the book right before Galatians, so it's not that many pages to turn back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says verses 14 through 17. It says, "But their minds were blinded, for until the day remaineth, the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where that Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." See, when these men were trying to force people to follow the law, they were falling with a veil over their heart, believing that they had to work their way to heaven. They had to follow the Jewish traditions. But it says that in verse number 16, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." When a person turns to Jesus Christ, he sees the truth of the gospel. It's illuminated in their mind, and they can see the truth, and they believe in the truth. And where does that truth come from? The Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. Take your Bible and look in here in chapter number 4. Look what it says in verse number 4. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." What the Bible is saying is that the devil blinds the eyes and the hearts and minds of men until the light of the glorious gospel shines in. How can we be so sure of the truth? It's because this truth did not come from an individual. Yes, God might have used the person to share the gospel. God might have used the preacher or a mother or a Sunday school teacher to give us the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it was the Holy Spirit of God that gave us the change, that showed us the conviction, that made us understand our need. And see, this is why we can be so sure of, is because of who the message came from. It was who our teacher is. It's who our teacher is. It's the Spirit of God that teaches us the truths. You can sit there and can say, "Well, my pastor helps me, my teacher helps me, my former pastor, or I've learned these things in college, or I've learned these things from my parents, I've learned these things from other individuals, disciples." It's the Spirit of God that teaches us the truths of the Word of God. And we can be sure of these things because we're taught them by the Spirit of God. And even though a pastor or a parent or a teacher might fail, might falter back, it's not about that. It's about what they've been taught by the Spirit of God. That's why Paul came in chapter 1 of Galatians. He says, "Look, even if I come back and preach to you another gospel, let me be accursed." He said, because it's God that taught him this truth. And this is why we can be so sure, is because God is one that teaches us that truth. And it passes our motivation. This passes what our testimony is too. But these are other things that we can be sure of. This third thing, and this is going to be the final thing tonight, not only is it about his motivation and his teacher, but it's about his testimony. Go back to Galatians chapter number 1. In Galatians chapter number 1, you have the story, some of Paul's life in it. You have some of Paul's life. We have his testimony. One of the greatest things that we can be sure of, if we're a Christian and we're saved and we're on the way to heaven, we're a new creature, new creation in Jesus Christ. There's been a change in our heart. There's been a change in our life that no one can take away. There is a surety in our salvation because we know the testimony of our own heart. We know what God has done for us, and we know what God does for us. We know that we have conviction of sin. We know we have a desire to want to serve the Lord. We have a desire for God's word. We have a desire to learn about God. I mean, if we're here tonight, that's because we want to do what's right. If we face the dangerous roads of ice, I think the motivation is to try to please God. And as we're trying to please God, that's a desire that's not there in other people's lives. A birthmark of a believer is one who has conviction when they have sin, when they do wrong, not because of individuals or people, but based off of God, and that we don't want to disappoint or fail God. Here, the cool thing is that the change that God made in Paul's life, it was not only about his motivation or about his pure motives, it was about the change he made. And that's what he tells the church of Galatia here. He tells these churches, look at my life. Look at the change that God made. Look what it says in verses 13 and 14. God's man had a past. In verses 13 and 14, you see Paul's past. It says, "For you have heard of my conversation." This is talking about his manner of life, his way of life. "In times past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers." He had a past. And you say, how do you know that what you stand for so sure. How could Paul know this? It's because he knew himself in the past. He knew what God did for him on that road, and he knew what God was doing for him in that day and time, how God was using him. He could be so sure because he had made a difference in his life. The change had happened in his life. The things that God was working and things that God was doing, he could be sure of it because of the truth of what's changed him. The grace that God allowed. Look what it says in verse number 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, by God's unmerited favor, Paul knew it couldn't be anything else. He said he called me by his grace. See, it's God's grace that is a changing factor in godless lives. And think about the story of John Newton. John Newton was the author of the hymn Amazing Grace. And in the story, he is one of the best examples of how the grace of God can change a godless life. Newton became a captain of a slave ship, but one night in a terrible storm, he trusted Christ as his Savior. The grace of God transformed him into a godly pastor. His tombstone today reads, John Newton, clerk, once an infidel, a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, which was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. The reason why Paul could be so sure was because of the change that God had made. And I tell you, if you're saved here tonight, there was a change in your life. There was something that happened. There was a change where the old things became old and the new things became new. And there should be new desires and a new life to live, because the Bible says you become a new creature. God's man had a future. Not only was there a change, not only did he have a past, look what it says in verses 15 and 16. He had a future. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Not only did he have a past, but he could be sure because he knew he had a future. God changed him. And I love what it says in verse number 15. It says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. But look what it says at verse 16. Why God did all that? It says, to reveal his son in me. See, this is God's purpose for us. This is why God saves us. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. See, God in his foreknowledge knew who was going to accept and who was going to reject his message. God knew who was going to be saved. Not that God determined it ahead of time. Not that God only died for certain individuals. None of that's true. For God so loved the world, he died for all the world. He died for mankind. But God in his foreknowledge knew who was going to be a believer. And he predestined them. And what were they predestined to do and become? He predestined that they would conform into the image of his son. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse number 16. The reason why he called and was separated by God's grace was to reveal his son in me. And this is what God's trying to do in your life. God wants to reveal his son through you. You think about the story. You read this in verse 15. You see that it pleased God. It separated me from my mother's womb. You say, mother's womb. I thought he was the one that went out and killed Christians. I thought he was the one who went out and persecuted the church. But God knew he was going to be a believer, and God knew that he was going to be able to do these things for him. And here he had a future. Now, you think about Jeremiah. What did it say about Jeremiah in chapter 1? It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You know, he knew him. And what did God call Jeremiah to do? He ordained him to be a prophet unto the nations. See, God has a plan for all of us. According to the unmerited favor and God's unmerited favor in our life, God has a plan. And that plan for Paul was that he would reveal and preach Christ to the heathen. It's kind of interesting that it talks about how it was to the heathen, and that this man that persecuted all those people that were Christians, they hated the Gentiles. When in verse number 16, it says, to reveal a son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. That this Jewish person that wouldn't even talk to Gentiles, that's who God sent him to. And it's amazing. But this is what God wants for all of us. The Bible says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. See, God has a desire for you and your life. I don't care which one of you are. I know we have, what, 23 people, Miss Patty? Is that right? 23. 23 people, but in every single one of your lives, God wants to do a work in you. He does. He wanted to do a work in Paul's life. He wanted to conform, reveal his son to the world through Paul. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to reveal his son in your life. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And so here's the deal, is that God is saying, look, I've chosen you. He says, you're supposed to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? So you can show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called you. And that's amazing. How can you be so sure? It's because of change he's made in you. He took you from where your past was. He's given you a new future. You can be sure of what God's doing because you've heard it from God. You've learned it of the Holy Spirit of God, but you have a testimony to give. You can be sure because God made a change in your life, and there was a difference. There was a difference when you were saved. Now, you continue on seeing this story here, how God's man was faithful, and we'll go through this quickly. You talk about the story of Paul's life here in verse number 17. He says, at the end of verse number 16, when he got saved, he says, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. He says, I did not go learn this of Peter. I did not go learn this of James. I did not go learn this from John. I did not go learn this from anybody else. He says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. Now, this is saying that he did not consult with them. The Judaizers are probably saying he got this gospel from someone else. We know that he spent time with Ananias. Then Paul went to this area in Arabia, an abode of God. I think this is talking about an area that is close to Damascus. He went off by himself. He had learned of God. It says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. We know the story that after Arabia, he went back to Damascus. And Damascus, he was preaching and teaching. And then because of the fact that they wanted to try to kill him, that they put him over the wall in a basket. If you never heard that story, it's in the book of Acts. And that he had to escape out of Damascus. He went down in the basket, and then he went up to Jerusalem. And that's what the Bible's saying here, that he says in verse number 18, and after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So he then went to Jerusalem after he had already gotten this revelation through Jesus Christ and from Jesus Christ and from the teachings of God. He had learned these things. And after he learned these things, he then returns to Damascus. Then he goes to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem is the spot where they did not want to receive him, but Barnabas comes alongside him. In verse number 19, he says, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. He says, I did not talk or see anyone else, any of the other disciples or apostles, but James himself. Verse number 20, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. He's saying, look, God is my witness. I am not lying. And he continues on. He says in verse number 21, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Now, remember that Paul went there. Barnabas went up to Antioch. And Antioch, he saw that there was a great work going on. Barnabas went to find Paul, brought them back. And then from there, he went out on his missionary journeys. Verses 22 and through 24, you see that we know that we can be so sure is because God can get glory out of what we do. Look, it says in verse 22, and was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. He says, these churches did not even know me. They did not even see me or understand who I was. I did not learn my doctrine from them. He says, I learned my doctrine from God. And in verse 23, he says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Now, isn't that a wonderful testimony? I mean, God took this great mind, this great, he was a rising star in the Sanhedrin. He was a rising star in all these Jewish traditions. Those, that Talmud or the Mishnah, those things we mentioned earlier, he knew that. He had that all memorized. That's what he tried to force upon people. But, you know, God took from being a persecutor of the church, the one that is preaching and starting churches. That's how he can be so sure. That's how when Paul was penning these words, he says, I'm not in doubt. I know the gospel I preach. I see the change it made in my life. And the greatest testimony we can have is when the world sees the change, when the world sees Jesus Christ living through us. They remember us when we were this way. They remember us when we had done wrong. They remember us when we were selfish. They remember us when before we were unsaved, before we were saved, and all the things we had done bad. And then now they hear that God is using us, and we're seeing people saved, and we're seeing God work in us. We're seeing God do something that only God could do, because if it wasn't for God, we couldn't be the way we are. Now, see, here's the problem is that many of us, after we are saved, we get back into the world, and we do the things of the world, there's not much change. There's not much difference. And we don't have that testimony. So when we go up to talk to people and we tell people about the gospel and the change that God's made us, he says, I knew you, I remembered you. And they don't see a change in our life. They're like, what's that going to help us at all? But here in Paul, when he's writing this, he's telling his testimony, I used to be more zealous than anyone else. I used to persecute the church. But God made the change by God's grace. He was arrested by that grace. And he says, I got this divine revelation from God. And now that church in Judea that you think that I learned my doctrine from, they don't even know me. They have only heard that the one who used to persecute it, now preach it. But look at that last phrase. And they glorified God in me. The change that we can know happens when people can see our lives and God gets the glory. See, his motivation was pure. And that's the reason why he could be so sure. He knew his heart. He knew in his heart that he was not serving for man. He was not serving to win somebody's attention. He was not trying to persuade people so that way they could like him or lift him up like the Judaizers did. Instead, his motivation was the one thing, to please God. I wonder in our lives, what is our motivation? I know we talk about it on Sunday morning, but we can't get past that. I appreciate you being here tonight, but why did we come? To prove that we could be here? I hope not. I hope it was because you want to please the Lord. No, why do we tell other people about Jesus Christ? Because we feel like we have to? I hope it's because you want to please the Lord. Why do we do anything we do? Hopefully it's to please the Lord. But another reason why we can be so sure is because of the word that we have. The change that God's made in us is because of it's his words. It's not man's words. It's not about the individual or the preacher. It's about God's word. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, I did not get this message from a man. These Judaizers, they can go back and tell you all these different men that they learned these truths from. I got my message from God. And that's what makes it special. And then he has his testimony. And that in his testimony, God is getting the glory because he was once this, and now he is this, and he is still living this way. I wonder, are we still living that way? Are we letting us grow and become more like what God wants us to do? Is God getting glory in our lives? So, how could Paul be so sure? How could Paul, in verses, I think it's 8 and 9, say, let him be accursed, let him be accursed? Because he knew his motivation. He knew who his teacher was. His teacher was Jesus Christ. And he knew his testimony. He knew the change that God can make. So tonight, as we close, how can we be so sure? It's because who we get our truth from. It's like the church of Thessalonica. It's not from a man. It's from God. These words are God's words. That's the truth. That's where we stand. Secondary, we can see the change, and we can be so sure because of the change God's made in my life. How do I know I'm saved? It's because of the change God made in me. Because I can hear from God. God speaks to me. Because I see the when I sin, that God convicts me. And when I have a desire to help somebody, or when I have a desire to witness to somebody, or when I have a desire to pray, when I have a desire to learn his word, when I have a desire to have faith in something that is unnatural, those are things that I know because of the change that God's made in my life. And also because of my desire. And my desire to serve the Lord, that only comes from God. If all I want to do is please God, then that comes from God and God alone. That ain't coming from the devil. Sometimes I had a church member ask me a question. And they says, can you preach on this sometime? They said, and look, they're not here tonight, so they're missing me mentioning it. So, and they said, how can I tell whether or not I'm hearing from the, they were discouraged about something. And they said, how can I tell whether or not I'm this God that's trying to tell me that I need to change something, or it's the devil just trying to make me be discontent? And number one way is it right? Because the devil's never going to try to get you to do something right. The devil's never going to try to tell you to go ahead and listen to the Bible, go after it all the way. And that's the answer to most of the questions. Sometimes you do have to get to a quiet place and sit and think and look up scripture and consider it. But if it's going against what God wants you to do, then it's the devil. But if it's going with what God wants you to do, then it's God. I remember I was trying to run from my call to preach. And I didn't want to do it, but God kept on working on my heart and my life. And I sat down with a guy. I was sitting at McDonald's on 279 Elkton, Maryland. I says, I think God's trying to call me to preach, but I just don't know if it's him or the devil. And the guy told me, he says, the devil's not going to call you to preach. He said, he might call you to preach, you know, somewhere else to do something that's not the right gospel. He says, he might have his false ministers and things like that. He says, but if you're struggling with whether or not God wants you to give your heart and life over to preach, he says, that's not coming from the devil. And I thought about that. You know, that was the truth. It's that, I mean, with a heart desire to want to know what's right. Now, sometimes the devil is good. He can trick us into believing certain things, that we should be doing certain things. But if we have pure motives to please God with our lives and the motivation is to do something right, that's not coming from the devil. So when we're talking about, am I hearing from God or is the devil just trying to discourage me? Think about what God wants to do in your life. It's great. God speaks to us. Now, maybe you haven't heard from God in a while. We need to know what's clogging up the communication lines. We need to figure out what's causing the static in our lives. It's not God. God can still speak. He's able to. So as we close tonight, we are going to have a short time invitation. I want you to be thinking, how can I be so sure that my gospel is the right gospel? It's because, first of all, it's in God's word. Secondly, because of the change that he made in your life. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.